This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, gentlemen, we are today discussing the Ramban and Nachmanides Igeret Ramban. And he quotes a verse from Chronicles, from Divrei Hayamim, chapter 29, which we say every single day. So I want to learn this. And we say in our prayers, Vayvarech David, it's in our prayers. So he quotes this pasuk. And the pasuk says, he says, first of all, the Ramban says, if you want honor, honor belongs to God. How do we know honor belongs to God? Shneimar, it says, Va'osher v'chavon panecha. Wealth and honor is before you, Hashem. Ve'ech mitpa'er b'kavod kanu. How can a person be proud when they're enjoying the honor due to Hashem? So honor is due to Hashem. How do we know? Have a look at page 114 of the Siddur, 114. And this is a pasuk in Vayvarech David. And I want to go through this. We say this every day, but if you look at the end of the first paragraph on page 114. Wealth and honor comes from you. And you rule over everything. So we have to put this in context. When did David say this? So if we look at Divrei Hayamim in chapter 29, David HaMelech is not allowed, he's not allowed to build the Beit HaMikdash. He wants to build the Beit HaMikdash. He desperately wants to build the Beit HaMikdash. Hashem says to build the Beit HaMikdash through Natan HaNavi. Nathan the prophet comes to David and says, build the Beit HaMikdash. So, and then Nathan goes home, and it's very late at night, and Nathan gets another message from God. Run and tell David he's not the one going to build it. His son will build it, not him. He said, 1 second, okay, what's the rush? So now quickly go run, because David is already planning everything. He doesn't wait around. He's going to be up all night planning the Beit HaMikdash. He's going to start excavations. He doesn't mess around. So Natan and David had to go all the way back to David and tell him, you're not going to build it. You are not allowed to build it because there's blood on your hands. That's one opinion. That's what the Torah says. You fought many wars. The Beit HaMikdash is for long life, and you can't build the Beit HaMikdash. So David is very upset, but he says, you know what? Even though I'm not allowed to build it, I'm going to prepare everything for my son, so from day one, I'll have all the materials ready. In other words, can you imagine, if someone else would have been told, you're not the one to build it. It's okay. You don't want me to build it? That's it. I'm patur. I'm exempt from this mitzvah. Thank you, Hashem. I can go to sleep. I can relax. I don't have to do any work. David HaMelech says, oh, I can't build it, but the least I can do is do all the preparations. That's amazing. David HaMelech is doing the preparations. So here, in this chapter in Divrei Hayamim, which is Chronicles, David HaMelech lists all the things he prepared, and he gives it to the elders and to Shlomo, his son, and says, here, I got the gold, I got the silver, I got the precious stones, I got the wood, I got the flooring, the marble, I got everything ready. Iron, whatever you want over here. Everything, all the raw materials are ready for Hashem. The house of Hashem are ready. And all the people rejoiced because they had donated. Who donated all this money? David HaMelech donated from his treasury, and the people donated. Everyone donated money for the Beit HaMikdash. And they all were happy, for they donated to Hashem wholeheartedly. They were not forced to donate. Everyone would give whatever they wanted, just like the Mishkan. Moshe Rabbeinu asked for donations. Right? He doesn't assess anyone. Everyone gives whatever they want. Everyone wants to give whatever they want. Give it with your whole heart. The main thing is, when you're building God's house, build it with your whole heart. Don't give it unwillingly. If it's unwilling, Hashem knows about that, and it ruins what's going to be done with the house. So it's very important to give wholeheartedly. So the people rejoiced, and King David also rejoiced. And then we have the Vayvarech David. This is the context of Vayvarech David, which we say every morning in the Toleh Dan Siddur, it's on page 114, the morning prayers. Vayvarech David Hashem. And David blessed or praised Hashem. Le'enei kol ha'kahal, in front of all the congregation. Vayomer David, and David said, Baruch atah Hashem, Elokei Yisrael. Blessed are you, Hashem, the God of
Abraham.
Yisrael. Yeah. Who's Yisrael? Who's Yisrael? Yaakov Avinu. Why is he blessing the God of Yaakov and not the God of Abraham? Right? Scott really had a good idea, right? If he's blessing, who should he bless? Which forefather should he bless? The God of? That's how we start our Shmoneh Esrei. Elokei Abraham, Elokei Yisrael, Elokei Yaakov. Start with Abraham. No. Elokei Yisrael, the God of?
Yaakov.
Yaakov, Israel. Avinu, our father. Why is he praising Israel? So here's a beautiful commentary. Because Yaakov, and no other forefather, is the first who consecrated his property to Hashem. Who is the first of the forefathers to give tzedakah? B'chol asher titen li, aser asenu lach. Whatever you give me, I will give you one tenth. Yaakov was the one who came along with this concept of tzedakah, of giving to Hashem. And also, so therefore, this whole house is built of donations, and therefore I'm going to bless the God of Yaakov. Very good, 1 second. Study. Very good, excellent. That's the next commentary. Very good. He's always one step ahead. Ari's always one step ahead. And the second commentary says, the Radak says, he was the first one to recognize the need of God's house, and he saw God's house. This is not any other place. This is God's house. This is the gateway to heaven. He saw, he envisioned. Yaakov Avinu was the first one of the forefathers in history to envision a house of God. Imagine, beautiful, look at this. 1,000 years, how many years before? Thousand something years before it was built. Yaakov Avinu is envisioning, this is the place for the house of God. So he's envisioning, this is the Radak. Radak says, he was the first one concerned with the building of a house of God. And not only that, but the Malbim says he also described the house of God. This is the gateway. He calls it the house of God. So what happens? So he praises Hashem. David HaMelech is praising God. Right? Who? The God of Israel. Lekei Israel. From world to world, which is forever. Okay. And this is the phrase used instead of Amen in the Beit HaMikdash. What would they say instead of Amen? They would say this line, Me'olam v'adolam. Baruch Hashem, Me'olam v'adolam. Blessed are you, God, from world to world, literally, or from forever and forever. Okay. And then David HaMelech goes into attributes. Why is he going into attributes? So big question. Okay, let's see the attributes. La Hashem Agedula, you God is the greatness, the might, the glory, the triumph, the splendor. For yours is all that is in heaven and upon the earth. Everything in this world belongs to you. So the question over here is, why is David describing God's attributes all of a sudden? So you can understand this pasuk in many different levels. Okay. In fact, this pasuk is used when we take out the Sefer Torah on Shabbat. Right, this Friday, Mashkenazim, everyone. And we continue with this. But this verse, we say every morning, and we also say it when we take out the Sefer Torah. So of all the sections of the whole Tanakh, our verse is seen like the most appropriate to praise God when you take out the Torah. Amazing. So that's one approach, that is the most comprehensive. We are praising God in the most comprehensive way, describing His attributes. Okay? Another approach is, David HaMelech is so happy that it was his traits that caused the house to be gathered. It's all this. He's praising God for the traits of God that he emulated from God. How did I collect all this money? Because you, God, gave me the ability, you gave me these traits. So I'm praising your traits because I emulated them. These are the traits I emulated to gather all the money. So David HaMelech has accomplished as much as a human being could accomplish towards creating a focus for the divine presence on earth. You know, we think it's a joke to build a temple. What's it going to do with anything? And the answer is, this is the gateway. You are preparing a physical gateway for God in this world. It's wild. I want to connect to God, even today, till today. All our prayers have to go through there. It's wild. All our prayers, your face, Holy of Holies. You pray towards, think about it, the Holy of Holies. All your prayers go through there. Now, can you imagine if there's a physical building over there that a person can actually go in and think, even, this is the gateway to God. So Yaakov Avinu saw it with prophecy. You can imagine. And think, amazing. There's nothing there. It's a mountain. He sleeps there and he says, this is a vision I saw. Must be the gateway to God. I see angels going up and down from here. This is the highway to God. This is the doorway to Hashem. So the second approach is David HaMelech is praising God for all his traits. As he looks back, he passes before his mind's eye the many personal attributes upon which he had to call in order to bring his efforts to fruition. As he considers each one, he recognizes each one of them as a gift from God. Each of my traits, the greatness, the might, the glory, the triumph, which I'm the king of Israel. I have all these traits. They're not mine. Lecha Hashem, you're the one who gave them to me. They're all your traits that you keep saying. Beautiful. Each one is a gift. And for each one, he has to say praises to Hashem. All these gifts. The Kabbalists come along and they say these are the traits of God in terms of the Sfirot. These are the 10 Sfirot of God. Hashem, Gidla, they're actually 7. Gidla, Gidula is Chesed. Gidla, Gibra. Keep going. Teferet is Teferet. Nefzachod, Yesod, Machut. Hashem. All these are the 7 lower spheres. Okay, the 7 lower spheres are right here in the Vayivarech David. So that's a Kabbalistic explanation. So we have this very, very important. So all this belongs to you, Hashem. All my personal attributes are yours, Hashem. All the greatness you gave me, Hashem, is really yours. So Hashem gave me greatness, but this greatness is all yours. So that's a beautiful idea. The might. David HaMelech to fight many battles. He thanks Hashem giving you the might. Everything is from you. The Tiferet. The beautifying of the temple. David HaMelech says, thank you for giving me this ability to beautify your house. I collected all this gold and silver to beautify your house. A triumph. David HaMelech says, Netzach. All the victories that I celebrated in my career are thanks to you, Hashem. You're Netzach. Ve'ahod, and the splendor. The splendor that I have as the king of Israel. All that splendor is yours, Hashem. All in the heavens and upon the earth is all yours. Everything is yours. So if everything is God's, don't get proud. That's what the Ramban is telling us. Ramban is quoting this pasuk. If everything belongs to God, as David HaMelech says, David HaMelech is not proud. Why? I know everything's yours. Everything came from you. You are the source. It's not me, it's you, Hashem. We say that's the difference between humility and pride. Pride is, I have this quality, this quality, this quality, I'm great. Humility is, I have this quality, this quality, and this quality, I'm great. But it's all because Hashem gave it to me. It's all because of Hashem. And you are the one who is exalted over every leader. God is greater than any leader could be. Or, the Gemara says in Brachot, Nunchet, it is you who cause the elevation of everyone. You have greatness. What do you have greatness? Either you're great or you cause others to be great. You're the one who's in charge. Who's going to be great? Who's not going to be great? The Gemara says, even the superintendent of wells, in those days, imagine, they had a shortage of water. Wells. The wells need securing. They had a superintendent in charge of the wells. Like today, you have the water authority, right? Middlesex County Water Supply. So they're in charge of the wells, the waters. Even he has to be appointed by God. God, in his hashgacha, appoints the person for his job, for the task. Which is another, that's a little bit dangerous. Why? Because that's where the European kings came up with this concept of the divine right of kings. It's pretty dangerous. Or a dictator comes along and says, God wants me to be a dictator. No, it's not true. He forced himself. But if the people appoint someone, it must be hand of God. Why is God doing that? So he snatched it. He was appointed by the prophet. So obviously that's God's appointment. If you're appointed by a prophet, you know God wants you. Moshe Rabbeinu was appointed by Hashem. David HaMelech was appointed by Hashem. Shmuel was appointed by Hashem. So those are God's choices. Those are God's choices. Okay. So this is a beautiful psalm. And this is what he is quoting. It's not a psalm. It's pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. In Chronicles. Book of Chronicles 1, chapter 29. David HaMelech is dedicating all the gold and silver and all the materials for the Beit HaMikdash. To build the Beit HaMikdash, he's going to give to his son. And he praises Hashem. So now, if you're praising Hashem, the Ramban says, everything belongs to God. Why are you praising yourself? Don't praise yourself for honor. Honor is not yours. It all belongs to Hashem. So Hashem gave you some honor. Thank him. He gave you the honor. Okay. So now we know that the three drives that motivate a person. What are the three major drives that motivate a person? Kidna, jealousy. Tava, desire. And kavod, honor. So honor is one of the major three drives that draw a person. So more than money, power, or physical pleasure, a person yearns for honor. We want to be honored by others. Everyone wants to be honored by others. You walk into a room, you want people to show you respect and honor and love and appreciation. And the more a person is denied, the more crazy they get. Right? It's like the dictators. When they go crazy, when they don't get the honor. Haman. He goes crazy. Why Mordechai wouldn't stand up for him? But he had everything else in the world. He went crazy. So kill, not just Mordechai, he was kill all the Jewish people. So honor, we see how honor is such a major thing. So Rabban points out, Hashem bestowed upon mankind every resource for attaining pleasure on earth. Honor is the lone exception. Only Hashem can give a person honor. People, you can buy honor, but it's not real honor. Only Hashem can really give people the idea to give someone real honor. Right? People fake honor. Why, the guy's a rich guy, we need a donation, let's give him honor. But it's not real honor. Real honor is someone who doesn't want, who's not a rich guy, and at least a nice quality person. That's what Hashem puts into the head. This guy doesn't deserve honor. The other guy really deserves honor. So even though their lips are praising that guy and giving him honor, deep down they don't feel he's deserving of honor. But true honor goes to a person Hashem wants to give honor to. So all of a sudden Mordechai becomes, everyone gives Mordechai honor. Haman, they were forced to give honor. Mordechai, they gave honor. Okay, so now we come to a beautiful Gemara. This Gemara is at Chulin, and it's interesting because it just talks about last week's parasha. It starts with last week's parasha. We find that Avraham Avinu fights the king of Sodom, right? And he fights the king of Sodom to get his relative back. So the commentaries say he didn't really want to fight. He wanted to buy it back. He wanted to take money and to redeem him. But it didn't work out. And he had to fight. So he fought. And in the booty, he takes the king of Sodom. And the king of Sodom says, take all the money and give me back all the souls. Give me back the people of Sodom. We talked about this on Shabbat. So what does Avraham Avinu say? I'm not going to take even a shoelace from you. Only what the lads who ever followed me ate, let them keep it. For the rest, here you are. So why didn't Avraham Avinu take from the king of Sodom? He took from Pharaoh, Paro, took his wife. He gave him money, he took it. He took from the king of the Pelishtim, Abimelech. Again, he took it. Why wouldn't he take from the king of Sodom? So the answer over here, the Gemara says, is because Sodom was full of robbery. And all that booty, even though he's entitled to the booty as the victor, he knew the source of the booty was all robbery. It wasn't legit. It wasn't legitimate, and therefore he wouldn't take it from the king of Sodom. Take back all that money. That's not what the Torah says. The Torah says, take back the money. Why? Because then you will say that you made me rich, not God. I don't want you to have that credit to your name. I made Abraham rich. The truth is, Abraham was already rich. But the Gemara says over here, the main motivation of Abraham Avinu was that he didn't want to take stolen property. He didn't want to take anything. And that's what we see. The Midrash says also, the fight with Lot's servants. They were fighting whether you could unmuzzle your sheep in other people's land. Can you graze your sheep in other people's land? Right. Avraham Avinu, one of his qualities was, he is very, very careful not to steal anything. Psh, big tzaddik. That's a big tzaddik. Very, very careful not to steal. Not even not to steal, but also to receive stolen objects. Okay, now he continues. The Gemara continues. Amar Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba says, robbery is the worst thing. Why? Because even the big tzaddikim cannot give it back. Why? Because Avraham Avinu himself says, I'm not going to take anything from you, but whatever the boys took already, and they ate it already, they can keep. That he did have benefit from robbery. That's how bad robbery is. You can't avoid robbery completely. It's so prevalent in society, you're going to get it, you're going to get some kind of benefit from it. That's called Avak Gezel, right? Avak Gezel. I'm not going to take a thread or a shoe strap. And from this, it says, his children got two mitzvot. From the thread, it says, we get the thread of blue for our tzitzit. Hashem gave us a thread. Ah, he didn't take a thread? I'm going to give him a thread. I'm going to give the descendants a thread, the blue thread. And he wouldn't take a strap. I'm going to give them the tefillin straps. Beautiful. So we got, he was worthy of getting these two mitzvot because of, he wouldn't take these things. So the Gemara says, okay, we have benefit. He had benefit from the strap in the way that we got tefillin. And it says that all the nations of the world will see the name of God is called on you, and the people have awe of his tefillin. That is the tefillin of the head. But the blue blue thread of the tzitzit, what benefit does the world have? So tefillin of the head, all the world sees us, and they're scared, hopefully. But the strings, what do they get? So the Gemara answers, Manishtana techelet b'kol ha'tzivonim, what's the difference between techelet of all the other dyes? Because this color of Techelet is similar to the sea, and the sea is compared to the sky, and the sky is like the throne of God, the sapphire throne. And instead they saw the God of Israel under his feet, this is in Parsha Mishpatim, is the sapphire stone. So therefore, that when you look at the thread of the blue, you get an inkling of Hashem. You remind yourself of Hashem. Remind yourself of the sea reminds you of the sky, all the creations of Hashem, and then remind yourself of Hashem above everything. Okay, now we come to another Gemara. This is Rabbi Yochanan's son named Rabbi Elazar. Kol makom shatam otzeh dvarav shel Rabbi Eliezer v'no shel Rabbi Yossi Aglili Agada. Anytime you find the words of Rabbi Eliezer, the son of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, in stories, make your ear like a big, make your ear large. Grab it. Listen to what he's going to say. This is Rabbi Eliezer, the son of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So what does Rabbi Eliezer, the son of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, say? He expounds on the verse, Hashem did not choose you because you are greater than nations. He chose you because you are the smallest of all nations. This is in Devarim chapter 7. What does that mean? So does it mean quantity or quality? He didn't choose you because you're greatest of all nations. Literally, today we know we're not the greatest of all nations. We're the smallest. Quantity-wise, we're the smallest of all the nations. But what does it mean, we're smallest of all nations? The Gemara has a twist over here. Look at this twist. Because you're the most humble of all the nations. You're the smallest of all the nations in your own eyes. Halavai, we would be humble in our own eyes. Why? Natati gdula le Abraham, I gave greatness to Abraham. And what does Abraham Avinu say? Vanochi afar va'efer, I'm dust and ashes. This is Parashah we just read, Vayera. Le Moshe v'Aaron, I gave greatness to Moshe and Aaron, Moses and Aaron. And they said, v'nachnuma, what are we? Vanoch. And I gave greatness to David, and he said, ani tolad v'lo ish, I am a woman, not a man. Aval ovdi kochavim menon kem. The pagans are not like that. Why? Natati gdula Nimrod, I gave greatness to Nimrod. Nimrod was the king of the Tower of Babel. And what does he say? Haked have nivne lo lanu ir, let's build a city. And a tower with its top in the heavens to fight Hashem. So, I give him greatness and he rebels against me. That's pride. And Paro, what does Paro say? Mi Hashem, who is God? Paro says. So I give him greatness and he rebels against me. And Sanheriv, who came to destroy the temple, the first temple, and failed, I gave him greatness. I made him the king of nearly the whole world. He was the king of the Assyrians. He says, "Mi b'chol elhei arzot, who is like me according of all the gods of the land?" And Nebuchadnezzar says, "Ele ad bonte av." I granted greatness to Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar says, "I will send over the tops of the clouds. I will liken myself to Hashem." And Nebuchadnezzar said. Look at all the... Okay, Hiram, king of Tyre. I will occupy the seat of God in the heart of the seas. So again, all these people, I gave them greatness, Hashem says, and they rebelled against me. Whereas the Jews are the smallest of all the nations. Really the smallest of all the nations? The most humble of the nations. That's what it means. Beautiful, huh? So now the Gemara is going to go into the details of who was the most humble. Abraham Avinu says, I am dust and ashes. And who, David Amel says, I am a worm. Who's the greatest? Hashem. So he says, Moshe and Aaron are the greatest. Why? Moshe and Aaron says, V'anuchi afar v'efer Abraham Avinu says, I am dust and ashes, that means I'm something. And David Abel says, I am a worm, I'm something. But Moshe and Aaron said, but what are we? Nachnuma, what are we? We are nothing, completely nothing. So that's a greater degree of humility than I'm earth and ashes. Okay, so interesting, beautiful, beautiful Gemara. Now comes a beautiful idea over here. Rabbi Lai says, "En ha'olam itkayem ela b'shvil mi shebolem et atzmo b'shat meriba." The world exists only on account of one who muzzles himself at the time of fights. Someone attacks the guy. The guy, quiet. I'm not going to answer. I'm not going to get involved in an argument. The world rests on a person who does not get involved in an argument. Shneimar tilei eretz ablima. He suspends the earth upon blima without reply. Number two, the world rests. Rabbi Abahu says, "Kemi shemesim atzmo b'mish kemi she'eno." It rests in the merit of a person who renders himself as if he is non-existent. Shh. Wow, are you non-existent? The guy insults him. As if I'm not here. What if a duck's back? It's like everything rubs off me, you know, nothing. Teflon man. The guy's insulting me. Doesn't affect me one bit. As if I'm not there. That's the ideal. That is really ideal. Make yourself as if you're non-existent. That's so hard to do. Okay, so that's a bit of the ideas over here in Chulin. Talks about humility. So these are different qualities of humility. So Gemara in Chulin talks about how we have to give honor to Hashem. That's how we show that we are not arrogant. So Nimrod, Paro, Sanherib, and Nebuchadnezzar, they got all this honor and they turned it against God. Abraham, Moshe, and Aaron, and David got the honor and they said, we are nothing. It's all Hashem. You are God, the great. Okay, now we come to how does the person deal with arrogance? So, Minister Yisharim, chapter 22, writes that an honest person knows that the more they accomplish, the more obligations they have. Someone says, you know, I'm a billionaire. Bill Gates. I'm a billionaire. I've got islands over here, I've got islands over there, I've got my own private jet, I've got a private yacht, I've got this, I've got that, I've got that. Look at my accomplishments. But then he says to himself, he says, but you know what? I also have responsibilities. Because I have all these billions and there's people starving in the world, so I have responsibilities as well. Halavai, that person should reach this level, so it should keep him humble. How does it keep it humble? Because if he doesn't realize what his responsibilities are, he'll say, I have, it goes to his head. But a person says, I have responsibilities as well, it brings him down to earth. Uh-oh. So really, the truth is, would you like to win $1.6 billion?
Yes.
Yes, but think of all the responsibilities you're going to have.
None.
Number one, the IRS takes $600,000 straight away, both off the top.
$600 million,
right? It's hard to imagine all these figures, right? $600 million off the top. That's hard to imagine. Wow. Gosh. So you have responsibilities as well. And then all these people starving outside your door. So the more a person has, the more the responsibilities have. Oh, amazing. That's a mistake. Rabbi Shlomo Salanter used to say, look at what he says. I know that in many ways I have the capacity of 1,000 people. But because of this, my obligation to serve Hashem is also that of 1,000 people. So a person who claims honor for themselves detracts honor from Hashem. Shlomo HaMelech says in Mishlei, chapter 16, "Tovat Hashem kol gevalev." Whoever has pride is an abomination of God. So, although Hashem, Malbim says, is patient with wrongdoers, when it comes to pride, He punishes straight away. Pride always comes before a fall. Why? Because pride is one of the things Hashem punishes straight away. Bam! Doesn't get you're proud. Boom! Very painful. So, because when a person gets proud, they think they eclipse Hashem. That's the trouble. It's like kind of idolatry. So, Hashem created the world so that He be recognized by mankind. So we should recognize Hashem, whereas the arrogant person says, I want them to recognize me more than they should recognize Hashem. You see all these great kings. They wanted the recognition from the people more than the recognition of Hashem. The Chafetz Chaim says, a power buries those who improperly wield it. So, for example, a father gives burdens to his son. Do this for me, do this for me, do this for me. Eventually, it's going to bury the person who told him. The son is going to run away from him. And Yosef HaTzadik, he died before all his brothers. Why? Because he lorded it over them. He was a king, and they all had to bow down to him. So eventually, you'll bury him. The honor will bury the person. Psh, wow. I thought it was because of all his responsibilities in Egypt. But you see over here that since the brothers had to bow down to him, it's like he's lording over. Shit, don't listen, my brothers, you don't have to bow down to me.
The root of kavod is heavy.
Heavy, exactly.
It's like burden.
A burden. Okay. Now we come to different kinds of pride. This is from the book of Job. If a person takes pride in wisdom, let him understand that Hashem is in charge and can remove the wisdom of a person. You see this today in Alzheimer's. Here's the wisest person in the world. Today, knows nothing about anything. Alzheimer's. It's the worst thing. Why? So Yov says, the person has pride in his brains, Hashem will take it away from him. So it's very important. The Gemara says in Shabbat, as Torah scholars age, their wisdom increases. As ignorant people grow old, their ignorance increases. So Ramban says, the haughty person who prides himself as a Torah scholar entertains a distorted perception of Torah. A person who learns Torah should become humble, not proud. The more one learns, the more one is overwhelmed by what they don't know. Gosh, come on, look at all these books. Who can become proud over here in this room? Look at all the person says, you know, I learned maybe 1/1,000th of what's here. Maybe. Not even. So how can you be proud? It's amazing. There's so much knowledge to be here. Gleaned. There's so much time we waste. That's the trouble. We waste so much time. But even then, a person studying all day, every day, every day, every day. Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkacz, we talked about on Sunday. Eliezer ben Hurkacz is a great rabbi. He says, I only got learned from my rabbis as much as a dog can lap from the ocean. How much Torah is there out there? And when I die, thousands of laws are going to be forgotten. And when he died, thousands of laws were forgotten. So who can become proud? So if a person learning Torah and become proud, it's a sign they're learning the wrong Torah. They're not learning properly. If they're becoming proud, they can make them more humble. So intelligence is a person's supreme faculty. The Rambam always says, intelligence, intelligence, intelligence. The knowledge you can take with you from this world, that's the crown on your head, Rambam says. The knowledge of God you learn in this world is your crown on your head in the Lama Ba, whatever that means. It's going to be the crown. That is your shining light in the next world. So wisdom is laudable, but yet it can become proud. It doesn't get pride from wisdom. So even the finest mind is imperfect and prone to error. Even the most accomplished sage. Look at it. In Israel, they had a whole series on the 1973 war, Yom Kippur War. Remember the Yom Kippur War? I remember I was a kid in Shul, Yom Kippur, and over here there's a terrible war in Israel. The Egyptians and the Syrians attacked on two fronts. Surprise. It was a big surprise. And they weren't ready. And they lost major losses the first few days. And they thought, really, that's the end of Israel, really. They were really on the verge of being captured run in by the Syrians and the Egyptians. And Hashem turned everything around. Why? Because they were so bragging about the IDF. Tzahal, 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 we don't worry about it. We have the best forces. And you see the general, Dayan, over there. He was not in a good mood. He's briefing the press on the first few days. It's like they're losing. What's he going to tell them? Don't worry, we're doing well. Everything okay, yeah. And so that's what Hashem does. Hashem shows even the person who thinks he has everything, he's the best general in the world. That's so great. You know, it says after the Six-Day War, there's a joke. It says the American president told Golda Meir, says, we want to swap three of our presidents for three of your presidents. So that batting an eyelid, she says, okay, I'll take General Motors, General Electric, and General Dynamics. Smart. But even the smartest people make mistakes. And sometimes it's because they're smart they make mistakes. Because the smartness went to the head. They miscalculated. Too smart. Sometimes too smart. There's no room for pride in respect to wisdom. A person who's wise, the wisdom should cause them to be more humble. Because I know so much about Hashem, I know what I'm not. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu stayed humble. How did he stay humble? He compared himself to God. He's closest to God, he sees God. He's, can I be proud? Hashem is here, he's filling up the whole world. Who am I? Fill up this little space. Look how much space we fill up. Hashem is everywhere. Melokul Aretz Kevodo. Okay. This is an amazing story. It's a beautiful story. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi was implored by some great people in some town, give us your best student. We want the best student of yours. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, the author of the Mishnah, give us your best student to come and be our rabbi. So he sends Rabbi Levi Bar Sisai, who's known as Levi. Levi was very famous in the Gemara. And he is a very profound scholar. He's a brilliant orator. And when the new rabbi came, the people showered him with honor. They put him on a big platform on top of everyone to give his first lecture. However, whenever he opened his mouth to speak, he had a blank mind. He couldn't think of anything to say. And so they started asking questions, but he didn't even know. So what does he do? He gets off the platform, goes back to Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. When he came back to home, his brilliance came back. So Rabbi Anasi says, what happened? What happened to you? Rabbi says, when I stood on that platform, I felt a surge of pride. And that pride made me forget all the Torah I learned. I couldn't talk. So Rabbi Anasi says, that's proof of the Pasuk in Proverbs chapter 30. If you are degraded, it's because you are lifted too high. The person goes up too high, gets brought down very low. So that's what happened. Okay.
There's also the thing where a person is pride, feet swell or something.
Yes, not pride, good news, it says. That's by Vespasian. Well, there's two different opinions, obviously, because he was appointed to Caesar, and it says he couldn't put his shoe back in.
I think there's a Talmud.
Shadashin etzem. The bones swell up. But it could be pride, because he was appointed then, he's Caesar. I'm Caesar!
Was that from Talmud?
Yeah, that's Talmud. Talmud Gittin. Yeah. Okay, now we come to a beautiful line. This is my favorite line. Just come tonight to remember this line. This line is in Yirmiyahu chapter 9. Yirmiyahu chapter 9 is one of the ending of the Haftarah. This is an amazing line. So Yirmiyahu is talking about, he's talking to the princes and the kings in the time of the first temple, who were crooked and they were corrupt. And apparently they were also very proud of themselves. So he says, Ko Amar Hashem. This is what Hashem says. A wise man should not praise himself because of his wisdom. And a mighty person should not praise himself of his strength. If a person learns Torah and does not keep it, he's wise, but he doesn't keep the Torah. He deserves no praise at all. On the contrary, it's a disgrace to him. Why? Because he knows so much and does so little. So that's what Yirmiyahu was talking about. You guys praise yourself in your Torah study. Can you imagine? All these kings and princes, they knew the Torah backwards and forwards. Says Menashe, king of Israel, was one of the experts in the Torah, but he wouldn't keep a thing. So he says, a wise man should not pride himself on his wisdom. It's not the main thing. And a strong man should not pride himself on his strength. And a rich man should not pride himself on his wealth. What is he? Pride yourself? Haskel v'yadoa oti. Know me, Hashem says. Ki ani Hashem. Know me. Ani Hashem ose chesed v'mishpat v'stakah baretz. I do kindness, justice, and righteousness in the land. Ki ba'eli chafatzinu Hashem. This is what I want, Hashem says. So what are the three things to pride ourselves? First, what's pride? Be righteous. Be justice. And be do kindness. Those three things were the three character traits we have to try and work on. Kindness, justice, and righteousness. Three things. So what do you be proud of? Know me, Hashem says. Know these three traits of me. So Radak says, by understanding and knowing me, understanding Hashem is knowing that Hashem always existed. Hashem is not physical. Hashem made everything and He guides everything, leads the whole world with His wisdom. That's number one, that's understanding. Knowing Hashem is referring to knowing His ways, to practice kindness, justice, and righteousness. One who follows His ways is said to know Him. Right? So what is knowing Hashem? The mitzvah to know Hashem. How do you know Hashem? Rambam says this. And in chapter, I think it's chapter 6 of Hilchot Deot. To know Hashem, mitzvah to know Hashem. Know Hashem in all your ways, emulate Hashem's ways. We have to know Hashem's ways, to emulate His ways. So here we have a key to Hashem's ways. What are Hashem's ways? Three things. Justice, righteousness, and kindness. Justice, righteousness, and kindness. So that's how we know Him. For in these things I delight, Hashem says. If you do them, I delight in you. That's the key. That's the kind of pride I like, Hashem says. Pride that you're humble. Pride, that's not bad, I can imagine. You're doing the good things. What are the good things? Three things. Chesed, Mishpat, and right, and Tzedakah. Bezrat Hashem will all be in that category. Have those three things. Amen.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.